If you're like me, you enjoy spending time in the outdoors, and often, for me at least, maybe for you too, it's on the water. There's something about being low to the surface when you're in a canoe or a kayak that gives you, I think, a completely different view of your surroundings. Larry Mueller here, and we're really going to be talking with Darren Bush from Rutabaga Paddle Sports. We talk with him a few times a year about paddling, always lots of fun, but I think it's especially welcome when we're still in winter and he comes by with a preview of Canucopia. Darren, always a pleasure.
Always wonderful to be here.
Oh, man. Well, how did you become a paddle addict?
And
when did you become a paddling evangelist?
Well, I've always loved water. I grew up actually on the coast of California, so our family activity was going to the beach and surfing and playing in the waves and all that. But I moved to the Midwest 30 years ago, and yep. There isn't much surfing here except up in Sheboygan, and yep. That's not really my style. I like water that's over 60 degrees, right? And so I went on a couple, you know, just canoe trips with friends and went to the Boundary Waters, and that was great. But then I went away to graduate school in New York, and one of my best friends was living there, and he was a paddler, and we started paddling together so that I could survive graduate school. And I used to paddle to school. I lived on the Erie Canal.
Oh, man.
And I could paddle down the canal and then down the Genesee River to the University of Rochester and pull my boat out by the Interfaith Chapel, drag it across the quad and stick it in my office. And so, yeah.
Oh, man. That sounds wonderful. And, of course, we've got plenty to talk about with Canucopia. But just first before we go, and by the way, if you'd like to join in, if you have a canoe or a kayak question, or maybe you've got a question about Canucopia, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Eventually, it is going to warm up enough for us to be getting out in a canoe or kayak. Anything that we should be doing now to our gear to get ready for that first outing?
No. Wait till it gets to over 30 degrees. But then, yeah, you want to get it out and, you know, double check the fasteners. That's always something good to do. Double check to make sure there's nothing growing or, building nests inside your boat. I think I've told the story on here before when I went to pull my boat down in the spring and a squirrel had filled it up with walnuts, and it almost crushed me like a bug when I went to pull it down. So, yeah, make sure there's nothing growing in there, and clean it up. If there's, you know, gaskets or seals, you know, make sure that they're nicely lubricated with UV Tech or 303 or some sort of UV inhibitor. And it's a good time to varnish paddles when it warms up a little bit. If you have wood paddles, that's always kind of a rite of spring to pull them out and sand them a little bit and varnish them.
And if there's something missing,
fix it.
Fix it. We got, and there's certainly no shortage of information and product at Canucopia to get that fixed.
Yeah, we got some stuff there. So,
well, it's billed as the world's largest paddle sport exposition, is it not?
It is. Is you know, as far as we can find out, I've been to pretty much all of them all over the place, even in Germany and. And we're still the largest consumer show.
How did it get started? And gosh, what's it grown into?
Well, it got started as an event at the old store on Park Street, down where the Madison Church Supply is.
I remember that store.
Yep, and it kind of grew out of that, and then it grew into the Dane County Forum, and then 1994, I think it was 95, they bulldozed that and built the Alliant Energy Center.
Yeah.
And after they did that, I kind of took it over just because it was getting too big to handle on the fly. And basically, I ran it for about 6 or 7 years, and then we hired more help and had more staff. And now it's a team effort, and I do this instead of what they're doing right now.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? Jim in Chattanooga, Tennessee is on. Online. Let's go to him for a minute. Jim, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thanks for calling.
Well, it's exciting to hear Darren on the radio. I'm on my way to Madison right now for Canucopia, and I wanted to talk about all the things that are going on there other than boats. I love paddling. I've been paddling with Darren, in fact. And but for me, the most exciting thing there is all the speakers, musicians, and things you can do. For folks who don't even care about boats or paddling, man, they should come out. It's worth the fee to get in just to listen to all the fantastic speakers and look at their photographs and hear about their adventures. So I'd love to hear Darren talk a little more about that. And thanks, Darren, for putting it all together.
Oh, thanks, Jim.
No, thanks. Thank my team. They're the best. Yeah, there is something to what Jim says. We have 175 presentations and speakers over the 3 days. And it's an educational event. People come from Chattanooga to come to Cornucopia and to hear you know, to hear people sing and speak and tell stories and give clinics and all that. And in fact, there's a couple things that I'll mention. One is there's a songwriter from Nashville, Jerry Vandiver, who is a longtime paddler, and I've known him for years. And he actually has a band. He's got 11 platinum records. He's written for Tim McGraw and a bunch of other folks like that, and he wrote songs about canoeing because that's what he loves, and he comes and plays them at the show and brings the band with him, and you know, has little to do with the technique or the gear, but it's part of the culture.
Yeah, part of the culture. Yep. and a lot of fun for everybody.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah,
and the workshops, I mean, I think there's pretty much everything there for the novice right up to the very hardened veteran.
Yeah, we try and keep it beginner friendly.
Yeah,
as much as anything,
much, yeah.
Just because I mean, experts already know everything, so yeah. You know, have a little bit of something for them to chew on. But my favorite thing in the world is teaching beginners.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the possibilities are.
Yeah, and so lots of possibilities there, and then your website should probably just, what is Cornucopia, a separate list?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, Cornucopia.com, and you can go, and there's a whole list of the exhibitors and the speakers, and we've got over 200, and I think it's 260 exhibitors this year, so outfitters and guides and all those folks. But yeah, go look at the website, it's all there.
All right, and Jim, thanks again for calling, I appreciate it very much. And we turn to Natty in Madison. Natty, hi, thank you for calling.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, appreciate your call.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I'm new to Madison, and I was wondering if and I don't know anybody who paddles, and I would really like to, you know, get into paddling again this summer. And is there a resource, a way of meeting other people who I can connect to, who I could paddle with?
Tons of them. Yeah. Actually, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm listening.
Yeah. If you come to Cornucopia, all the paddling clubs from the southern part of the state have tables and booths, and you can sign up there. The two that come off the top of my head are Mad City Paddlers is the Madison Paddling Group, and they have regular meetings even in the winter. They like potlucks. They're a potluck club with a paddling problem. And then the Madison, the meetup groups, the online groups, the meetups, there's a kayaking one and also an outdoor one. And they have, the outdoor one has over 1,000 members to it. So, and they do trips on a fairly regular basis as well. So, and then, you know, coming to the shop, we'll hook you up.
Okay, great. Thanks for answering my question.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, thank you for calling.
And welcome.
Yeah, welcome. And I think you're going to like, Natty, I think you're going to enjoy Cornucopia. So I hope you have time to get there to it this week. And what are the dates and times?
It's Friday, this Friday, 4 to 9, 9 to 6 on Saturday, and 10 to 5 on Sunday.
9 to 6 Saturday, 10 to 5 on Sunday?
Yep. Or
10 to 5. Okay. So there you have it, Natty. Thanks very much for calling.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate it. You can join in, too, with a question or comment at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Let's talk a little bit. You have some films at Cornucopia this year?
Yeah, a couple of them. One that's really interesting that I just loved is Finding Farley. And it's a couple who took their kids and they paddled on a long trip to find Farley Mowat, who's famous for, you know, Never Cry Wolf and Yeah, great stuff. The Dog That Wouldn't Be and all those wonderful books. And they found him, and I had no idea he was still alive.
He really was
He's in his mid-80s. He's passed away since then, I believe. But they went and found him, and it's just delightful. You know, Kenny Solway will be there again, who's the river rat down from the sloughs. He's always fun. There's more multimedia as things go. I mean, the advent of GoPro has been a real blessing and a curse for the outdoor world, because there's a lot more video available. But the good news is there's a lot more good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So some of that's going to be on board. And what about fishing? Are you going to? I know that there are fishing things. And as a matter of fact, maybe let's just turn to Andy in Ferryville, because Andy's got something that relates to that. Andy, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great.
Great. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
I'm just moved to Ferryville last July. I love fishing, and I like paddling. I was just curious as to if you have a model in mind, that'd be good. It's like within $800.
You're talking about kayak or canoe?
Kayak.
Okay.
Yeah. well, there's more than one. There's dozens, literally. And the price ranges from, $800 up to $1,100, $1,200, and depends how they're outfitted. So you can get one that's fairly Spartan and add whatever you want to it. So there's no reason you can't add your own rod holders, and we've got all that stuff and know how to put it on and can show you. But, any kayak is a fishing kayak. You just have to get the stuff added to it.
Yeah, I was looking for something specifically maybe I could stand up in. I know they have them fishing kayaks that you can stand up in.
Yeah, sure. So I would, they're a little more than 800, but the Ultimate, the Native Watercraft Ultimate 12 is a good one for standing up. Old Town makes one called the Predator, which is a new boat last fall that is getting a lot of attention. Jackson Kayak makes a couple different models depending on your size. Kusa, Kuda, just tons of them. There's no shortage of them.
Go ahead.
These are all ones that you carry at your shop there?
Yep. They're all there. Yep. We have a whole section just for kayak fishing.
All right. Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Andy, for calling. Appreciate your call. Darren Bush, our guest today, chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison, talking with him about kayaking and canoeing and, of course, about Canoecopia that's coming up this weekend in Madison. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, we're visiting with Darren Bush about paddling and the upcoming Canoecopia event. Again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. You can post there. And Darren, as a matter of fact, you posted a photo of your dog.
Yeah, Gracie. I had to put her down last fall. She was almost 14 and kind of creaky and had some tumors, but my paddling companion for many years. And I love that picture of her sitting in the boat with her nose on the gunwale watching everything go by. And just wonderful. Just wonderful.
And Gracie would sit there and be a great companion. I mean, and not create problems.
Nope. And I'd say, okay, get in. And she'd get in. I'd say, get out. And she'd get out. And I'd say, lay down. And she'd lay down. But, it's a lab.
Yeah.
And they're really, actually, Trish McConnell gave me a lot of good tips on dog training early on. So part of why she sits so still is because of her.
There we go. Well, Andrew in Mount Horeb, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi there. I have a question. We enjoy kayaking with our smaller dogs.
Yeah.
But now that I have a 85-pound retriever, I'm interested in maybe a stand-up paddle board. I was wondering if you had any advice as far as models or any suggestions that would go along with that.
Well, a stand-up paddle board with an 85-pound dog is going to be problematic. There is one that I think would probably work pretty well. It's from a company called Boat, which is B-O-T-E. And they make a really nice board that is mostly designed for fishing, but it's got a lot of displacement to it, and it tracks pretty straight. So that would probably work.
Have you heard of one from the Saturn company that has a 300-pound capacity, an inflatable one?
That one I'm not familiar with, yeah. It's getting to the point at some of the trade shows where you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a new paddleboard company. There's just dozens and dozens and dozens of them. So they're it's become so popular, they're starting to pop up a lot. But there might be a couple of inflatables that might work as well from NRS. The Big Earl is one of them I'm thinking of. Mm. But, yeah.
Okay. There you go. Thanks for calling, Andrew. Appreciate it. Lori in Watertown, your turn. Hi, Lori.
Hi. I like to kayak, and I just got my first dog who actually likes water, and I was wondering if there was a good kayak combination that that would work for me and my dog.
There's quite a few. How much does your dog weigh?
He's 50 pounds.
Okay, that's not too bad. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of different boats that would work for you. Actually, if you look on the Rutabaga Facebook page and go back 3 or 4 days, there's a picture on there that we put up of a veteran who came back from the war and has a therapy dog. And there's a boat. It's called the Old Town Predator. And it's got a big flat area that's really good. And there's a picture of him paddling along with his therapy dog. So,
that's perfect.
That's a great one, yeah. The only downside, they're a little heavy. So you might need help moving them around, but they are perfect for paddling with a dog.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks, Lori. And you can join in, too, at 800-642-1234. Give us a call. We'll get you on pretty quickly here. Let's go to Don in Portage next. Hi, Don.
Yeah, hi there. My question is, I would like to hear the pros and cons of difference and so forth between a sit-in and a sit-on kayak, and particularly as it relates to older folks, seniors.
Yeah, okay.
That is a wonderful question that I hear almost on a daily basis. So the pros of a sit-on top, where you're not actually sitting inside the boat, but it's more of a depression, is that it's self-draining. So if the boat flips over, it'll drain itself when you flip back up. They're wider and a little bit more stable sometimes, you don't have to get down into it. So if you have mobility issues, I've got a cousin who has really bad knees, and it's hard for her to get inside, but she can sit down on it and then flop her legs in, and she's fine. So sit-on tops are great for that. The downside is kind of the upside, is that they're not a dry boat. So if you're taking them out and when the weather's cooler, you might get water coming up through the scuppers for the drain. So water does go both ways. They're also not quite as efficient as a regular sit-in kayak, because they have to make them a little wider. They tend to be a little heavier, but all in all, they're a lot of the fishing kayaks we see are sit-on tops, mostly because when you pull a fish up, you don't want water running into your boat, right? So they work great. I think the biggest impediment is weight. Sometimes they can be 10 to 20 pounds heavier than a kayak of the same size as a sit-in.
What would the weight be? What is the weight of an average kayak?
What's the rate of an average person?
Yeah. What's the range?
The range, you can get down to, high 20s, low 30s for a small, lightweight boat, up to, 80 to 90 for a sit on top. But I'd say, 50 to 60 pounds is kind of right
about
in
what
there.
You're in.
Yeah, that's about right.
Don, does that help?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And Paul in New Berlin. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Hi. How are you guys doing?
Great. Appreciate your call.
I had actually purchased a Winona Prism Kevlar canoe. It was a beautiful canoe. I have two children, 6 and 8 years old. But I would take it out on the lake and just get blown around. And I had a hard time tracking where I wanted to track. Mm-hmm. So that didn't work out for me last year. I was wondering what I could get this year, something that'll I could put the boys in and not get blown around so much.
Yeah, I actually have a Prism and love that boat. It is a little bit better when it's weighted down. It's also super sensitive to trim. So if you have a little bit more weight in the bow than in the stern or vice versa, it'll make it hard to go where you want it to go. So if you've got a couple of kids in there, you need to, move them around until the bow's not sticking down into the water or the stern's not sticking down. It's a bigger, longer boat. You might try something shorter. How old are your kids again?
6 and 8 years
six
old.
Six and eight. Okay. Yeah, there's a boat called the Bob Special that I'm really fond of that's from Novacraft Canoe, and it's a 15-foot boat that is a small tandem, but you can paddle it solo as well. And it's a little bit shorter, a little bit wider, probably a little more predictable than a prism with two people, with three people in it. You're kind of pushing the weight limit on the prism with two extra kids.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate your call. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Talking with Darren Bush today about canoeing and kayaking, and of course about Canoecopia coming up this weekend in Madison. It's a huge event. It's the essentially it's the largest paddle sports exposition in the country, or anywhere for that matter, in or out of the country. So if you're interested in canoeing or kayaking, it's kind of the place to be this weekend for sure. Jim in Hudson, thank you for calling. Hi. Jim, are you there?
This is Jim.
Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
Hi, I'm Jim calling from Hudson, Wisconsin. I just purchased a 14-foot Kevlar canoe and had it out a few times. I was down in Florida. And I'm interested in doing a lot of fishing out of it. And I was wondering if you have any thoughts or recommendations as far as sponsons or outriggers.
Yeah, there's a company called Spring Creek that'll be at Canoecopia that makes sponsons that'll fit onto a canoe, and they clip right over the gunnels and tighten down, and they will add a lot of stability.
Oh,
yeah, they're good,
and not too expensive.
Not too much, no, way less than the cost of a Kevlar. Spring Creek Outfitters.
Okay,
all right.
Yeah, pop in and see them.
Yeah, all right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it, Jim. And again, you can join us at 800-642-1234. I got a Facebook comment from a Midwest Environmental Advocates who said, don't forget to mention the fantastic organizations that will be attending Canoecopia. Last year, we had fun talking to the good folks at the River Alliance of Wisconsin and the Bad River Watershed Association. It's a good time to learn more about where paddling meets policy.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we like to support is in groups that support river access and river conservation. You know, we've worked with the River Alliance for I don't know how many years, a dozen, and they're great. You know, we love working with them. And the Bad River, they just kind of popped up last year because of the the problem with the mine up there. So they're really working hard to make sure that polluting mess doesn't really go forward. So good for them.
And I want to go back to, before we go back to the phones, I want to go back a little bit to Canoecopia. I'm thinking about the women. There's several women have called the show. One of them was saying, oh, I'm new here, and you invited her to attend Canoecopia as a way to meet other people interested in paddling. But there are some special events relating to paddling for women. Are there not at Canoecopia?
Yeah. There's quite a few presentations that we put on that are specifically for women. How to pick the right gear. Different paddling techniques that are different for people of smaller frames or women, and just this different things that affect women do. The amazing thing about paddling is it's become a place where women can really shine. There's a couple of young women who made a canoe out of a dugout canoe out of a cottonwood tree and sailed it and paddled it around Lake Michigan right out of college. Yeah, they're delightful young women and just very adventurous. So we're seeing more and more of that. There's a woman speaking who's a grandmother who's going on a big expedition, and she wanted to share her experiences planning and getting ready to go with other people.
So it's
just a great, it's an educational event as much as anything. So
the two gals that made the dugout canoe are going to be there?
They'll be there, yeah. They're going to come and speak about their little adventure.
Oh, and I probably have some great photos or slides or whatever.
They do indeed. Yeah, they're doing all sorts of other stuff too. This is just the start, and I don't know what they're going to do, but just stand back and watch. It's going to be great.
Kay in Green Bay. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. Last summer, I purchased a Seagull inflatable kayak, a 12-foot one, and I thought I had a lot of good reasons for doing it at the time, but now I find, as I've been watching this local group, it's called the Yakkers, and they're through Meetup. I would love to join in with them, but I am thinking maybe this inflatable, I have limitations with this inflatable. I'm 65, And I'm just kind of saying maybe if they wouldn't take me serious, that they'd leave without me.
Well, it's not about not taking you seriously. Is that there are limitations to an inflatable boat. They don't really have the ability to get the hydrodynamics that you can get of a hard shell boat. Now, that said, there's other options besides inflatable. There's folding boats. There's boats that have a frame that the skin fits over that are much more rigid and paddle more like a hard shell boat. But yeah, there's certainly some limitations. I mean, they're light, they're easy to pack. You throw them in your trunk, so all those good things are probably the reason you got it.
Yeah. My husband has a disability. I wanted one that was comfortable and really large in the front, so he had room to stretch out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what I did. But this is the one I have. So what you're saying is I shouldn't probably sign up to go do a river with the yakkers.
Or you can borrow one from them. A lot of those people have more than one boat. I know I have a friend, Laura, who whenever she's at a garage sale and sees a boat, she'll buy it. She's got about 10 or 12 boats because when she wants to go with friends, she just outfits them all. And so paddlers are like that. We tend to keep the quiver.
Yeah, and that's a really good idea, Kay. I'll bet there's somebody in the Yakkers that has an extra. In fact, they might be listening to this program, as a matter of fact, and they'll call in.
Yep.
There you go. Thanks, Kay.
You're welcome.
KC in Port Wing. Hi, thank you for calling.
How you guys doing?
Great. Appreciate the call.
Awesome. Hey, awesome. Okay, you got Canucopia. Do you know where Cornucopia is?
I stayed in it a month and a half ago.
Awesome. You probably visited that lovely ice cave, didn't you?
I did, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're great, and I know you are awesome, but unfortunately, literally tens of thousands of other people that went up there dumped a lot of their trash and weren't very eco-friendly when they went up there. So I would encourage all your canoers and kayakers in the springtime to please clean up after all the ice cave dwellers that went up there and left a lot of trash in the ditches on the ice. Hopefully Lake Superior doesn't suffer from all the ice cave dwellers. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. That's too bad.
Yeah, that is too bad. You would think just the opposite.
You would think. I was up there. They were a mile and a half on each side of the road, cars outside of the parking lot. There were thousands and thousands of people there. And good for the local economy. But I did see people out there in tennis shoes, and they weren't really, I mean, they heard about it. But yeah. I mean, everybody knew about this. It was on Telemundo, on the Spanish network. I mean, everybody heard about this. So yeah, it's too bad. But hope we can get that cleaned up before it thaws. That'd be great.
Natalie in Madison, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to share a pretty cool story when I was up in Alaska canoeing, and I went during the night, and it was, you know, really foggy, and I saw bioluminescence in the water, and it was phenomenal. It was like the sky was inverted. There looked like stars in the water, and the rift, the rib of the canoe, the bottom of it was glowing, and even the fish that were swimming by were glowing, and when the trail left by the canoe, the water behind it, like 10 feet away, it was still glowing. It was just phenomenal. And I splashed my paddle into the water, and it just sparkled, like 10 feet away. It was it was like Cinderella, you know, and she was sparkling, and then, like, the footsteps she left behind were glowing. Well, I don't know if that part happened in that movie. I don't know, some movie out there. And I also went kayaking there, and this was in Glacier Bay National Park, in southern Alaska, which is one of the top 10 best places to see kayak. And I had a dolphin creep up behind me. It was like 5 feet away, and I heard it behind me, and then I saw it, you know, go in front of me, and the water was just this, like, marble blue. It was incredible. So I just want to share that.
Did you get – was there a way to photograph the luminescence?
I didn't have a camera with me. I have no idea. That's a really good question. But actually, when I put my hand in the water, you know, it was completely glowing. It's not like the Caribbean where it's kind of glowing. I haven't experienced that. But, I mean, I put my hand in the water, and it was glowed. I could see every finger. I picked up the water, And when I picked it up out of the ground, it was still glowing for, you know, a second. It was pretty intense. And I mean, the experience when I was done, that was my last night in Alaska. I was working there, you know, during the summer between college semesters.
Yep.
And that was my last night there. And I had a flight, like, you know, 8 hours later. And it was just, like, I looked at my face in the mirror and I just, like, you know, it was just glowing. My, you know, my own face was glowing.
And that's why you should paddle. Yeah, that's.
Yeah.
Everybody who paddles for a long time, even a short time, has those experiences that are just, and I've had several that are similar to that, not bioluminescence, but one with damselflies where they landed all over me. You know, and just things like that are, they don't happen unless you're in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
Judith, my producer, the first time she ever kayaked was in off the coast of British Columbia, and she saw bioluminescence. And, of course, she gets spoiled. That was her first time out, and she sees it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and actually, when the sun was setting, and it was, like, between a mountain valley, and we heard whales in the distance, you know, surfacing with the water spout, you know, sticking out. But we also saw those nasty big, they're not with sea lions. Yeah, and we were afraid because they're actually, the sea lions can tip a canoe.
Yeah.
So I wasn't afraid, but my friend in the back was kind of freaking out. But, yeah, I was just, I'm not kidding, all of that happened. And the bioluminescence was, like, so bright. It was just incredibly bright, you know. It wasn't light. It was like, almost white, you know.
Well, there is a guy at Cornucopia who will be speaking about paddling in Alaska, I believe.
So, oh. Yeah. Well, Natalia, you should come to Cornucopia then. Well, you're right here in Madison too, so there you go. Thanks for sharing that. That was great. Appreciate it very, very much. Wayne in Adams, we're gonna go to you next. Hi, Wayne.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I'm a cabinet builder, and what I've been looking into is I had a couple books about wood strip canoe building, and I was wondering if there's gonna be any information at that show or at that man's shop.
Yes, there's going to be, McCormick Lumber from Madison is a longtime provider of cedar and Sitka and woods like that to wood strip builders, and they'll be there. And then Pygmy Kayak and CLC, Chesapeake Lightcraft, will be there who make kits. And they have the owners of both companies are going to be there, so you can talk to them about it.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you know how much one of those type of canoes costs, person?
Cedar. Well, if you're going to buy a kit, you know, $600 to $1,200, depending on the size of the boat.
I see.
So something like that. If you're a woodworker and you've got, you know, bead and cove bits and a router table, you're probably better off milling your own lumber.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ordering in your cedar or something and doing it yourself.
Just get clear cedar and a bead and cove bit and rip it, and you're good.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks, Wayne, for calling. And Kyle in Oshkosh, on to you now. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, Larry.
What's on your mind?
I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Cool.
And I just got to say, I bought a kayak last year, and it is my favorite new toy. And I had no idea how much water we have at our disposal in Wisconsin here. And I didn't realize it until I bought a boat. We'll have days here. We'll go from Lake Butamore over in the Fox Valley all the way on the Fox to Lake Winnebago and tool around in different parts of that. And I got to tell everyone, go out and buy one. Just do it.
I did not pay Kyle to say that. Yeah. yeah. And you're close to the McCann River, which is one of my favorites too. That's a great little kayak river. It's wonderful.
Oh, have you been on that one yet, Kyle?
I have not. Now I know.
Yep, it's you can go over to McCann River Lodge, and they'll actually shuttle your car for you, so you don't have to even do that.
It's
cool. Last year we did they called it a Big Kahuna. It was a 95-mile kayak trip down to Wisconsin, and we ended up in the Mississippi, and we camped on sandbars every night, and that was a pretty great vacation, I got to
say.
Very
cool.
Oh, yeah, wonderful. And thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your call. And Darren, actually, you were mentioning to me, we have... How many state scenic rivers have we got?
We have five. And isn't that interesting? I mean, we have national scenic rivers that, you know, started in 1965, like the Namekagon and St. Croix. But those are national rivers. We have five state rivers. The Pine, the Popple, the Pike, which are up in near Marinette County.
Yeah.
And then Togatec, which is just fun to say. And then the newest one is the Brunsweiler. And that's
Where's that one? It's over in
Ashland County, I believe. Not too far from the Brule. But it was there's a 10-mile section of it that was named for Martin. I forgot his name. Who owned a section of there, and he passed away, but he worked to make that a scenic river, so there's development on that section is limited, and it's just lovely. So all those rivers are just beautiful.
Oh, man. And here we've got Canucopia, and it's, again, let's go through the specifics. It's this coming Friday.
It starts Friday. Friday, 4 o'clock to 9 o'clock, Saturday, 9 to 6, and Sunday, 10 to 5.
And it's, there's a... Not a large amount of money. What is it? What's the
It's $15 for a day pass and $25 for the whole weekend, and kids are free. Under 18 is free.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah, and I've done this before where a scout troop comes. They just turn them loose. It's really fun.
Well, I know it's going to be a lot of fun this weekend, and it's, you know, you never stop. Your crew never stops planning. I mean, once it's over, like a day later, you're on to the next year.
We take a day off.
I
go paddling on the Bagfish every year down south of here a little bit and get some paddle time. And then the next week we do a breakdown and talk about what worked and take notes. Now there's about six or seven people that work on this. Two specifically, Sasha works on the logistics, and she's amazing. And Nancy does the speakers and... I have too many cool staff to mention. So,
well, and then again, you can go to the website for it too.
Yeah, you can go to rutabaga.com and click on the Canucopia button, or just go to canucopia.com if you can spell it.
Always a pleasure, Darren. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
We'll have him back. We'll do it again. But in the meantime, Canucopia this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And again, canucopia.com. We've got a link to my Facebook page, too, at the Larry Mueller Show. So if you want to go there, you can just link right onto it. If you want to learn when the various speakers, sounds like there's some really good ones, are going to be talking. I'd love to see the two gals who made that dugout and then paddle all the way around Lake Michigan. That sounds like a trip. Well, getting out on the water can be a real boost to your mood and your health. Coming up next, we'll find out about another way to help people feel better when they are dealing with difficulties. We'll learn about the work of therapy dogs from certified applied animal behaviorist and good friend Patricia McConnell. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.